inspiring interviews with today's top landlords.
This is the Rental Income Podcast.
And now, Dan Lane.
Daniel, so you've got a couple of different types of rentals. Tell me about your portfolio.
Yeah, absolutely, Dan. I have about 10 rentals, and it's comprised of a number of Airbnbs, you know, short-term rentals, a couple of nurse housing rentals, and then two long-term rentals as well.
Today on the podcast, we're going to take a look at Daniel's portfolio. We'll talk about the pros and the cons of each type of rental he's bought and how much money he's making off each one of them. Now, obviously, Airbnb and renting short-term to traveling nurses is going to pay more, but there's also some more work and some more hassle involved. And on the show today, we're going to see if that extra work and hassle is worth it. Joining us on the show today from Winston-Salem, North Carolina, is Daniel Johnson. We'll take a really quick break to thank our sponsors. We'll come right back and we'll talk to Daniel. A good deal on a rental property isn't going to last very long. To win properties today, you need to move quickly when a deal comes on the market, but it takes time to analyze a property. I want to let you know about an app where you can analyze deals on your phone in seconds. It's called Ask Rick. That's R-I-C for Rental Income Calculator. You can analyze a deal with the push of a button. You can figure out the rent, your mortgage payment, your expenses, and figure out the cash flow. If the numbers make sense, you can make an offer right there on the app, or you can send a calendar invite to your agent to see the property in person. Ask Rick is currently offering a free 7-day trial. Just search for Ask Rick in the App Store or go to Just Ask Rick. That's R-I-C, justaskrick.com. Whether you've been buying rental properties for years or you're looking to buy your very first rental property, the very first thing you want to do before you go out and find a great deal is to figure out your financing. The lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. She's a nationwide lender, and her specialty is helping investors finance rental properties. Chaley has a special limited-time offer just for our listeners. She will pay for your appraisal up to $500 when you close a loan with her. Just mention you heard about this on the Rental Income Podcast. If you want more details or if you're ready to get started today, just go to ridgelendinggroup.com. That's R-I-D-G-E, lendinggroup.com. NMLS 42056. Let's start off talking about your Airbnb property. So you've got a couple of different Airbnbs?
Yeah, that's right. We've got about six Airbnbs in the Asheville market, and as well as one in the Winston-Salem market.
Now, with Airbnbs, have you found that it's best if they're near some kind of big attraction, or does it not really matter? Do people just need Airbnbs everywhere?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's interesting because there certainly is a huge demand at tourist locations, and that's, you know, vacation spots are certainly great places to have Airbnbs, but I've also found that anytime there's a reason for somebody to go somewhere, there's probably at least a small demand for an Airbnb. So even just an urban market, a city, or even smaller cities where people are going to visit family or going to a particular event or attraction, there's at least a periodic demand for Airbnb. So I would say most Airbnbs can you can work anywhere in general. However, it is generally better to have it in a tourist kind of destination location.
As far as the downside of Airbnb, I would think that it's just that the constant people coming and going, constant cleaning up, and just dealing with more things than you would deal with a long-term rental. Is that a big deal?
Yeah, I mean, one thing that a lot of people don't realize when they start getting into the Airbnb and short-term rental market is that with long-term rentals, you can kind of turn your brain off and you can either hand it off to a property manager or you can be put it on cruise control once you get a good tenant in place and everybody knows their situation. You probably don't have to think about it too terribly much,
right?
You know, maybe once a month or once a quarter. But with Airbnb, if you're managing it, you have to be by your phone. You have to be ready to respond to questions, ready to put out you know, theoretical fires that a guest is having. They can't figure out how to work the TV or get onto the internet or whatever the case is. So it definitely is a more demanding type of an environment to work through. But certainly the returns kind of pay for that additional level of service that you have to provide to the guests.
With the Airbnb, like I feel like there's a lot of expenses that a lot of people don't think about. You know, you're having to pay the utility bills, the internet, the cable TV. You've probably got to replace linens from time to time, or maybe some broken dishes, or like, so you've got extra expenses. Does that really eat into your cash flow to where you're maybe not making as much as people think you are?
You know, the way that I always encourage people to look at Airbnb short-term rental is it's kind of like an overlay of a business on top of a real estate investment. And you can compare what you would make on a long-term rental on a particular property. And then you can also look at the short-term rental viability by looking at what your expected income is going to be. And then what you have to do is you have to then back out, like you were talking about, all these expenses, the extra expenses, the utilities. You know, you can't really control if somebody staying at your Airbnb is going to run the AC at 64 degrees for, you know, 72 hours straight. So mm-hmm. you are going to have higher utility bills because they're not the ones paying for it. You're the one paying for it. Right. You're certainly going to have to provide those services, you're going to have to provide those dishes and the towels and the linens and that sort of thing. So they certainly will eat in. There'll be a cost of it. However, you just need to look at the pricing and what you can charge in your particular market and then back out those expected expenses and then see if it's still going to be a profitable venture.
Right. Right. And now what about, you know, I know a lot of towns have restrictions on Airbnbs and like certain homeowners associations have restrictions. When you're buying a property that you're going to make an Airbnb, do you ever think, well, you know, if I have to make this a long-term rental, this also has to work? Or are you just kind of rolling the dice and just hoping that some kind of legislation doesn't put you out of business?
Yeah, you know, whenever I'm evaluating a property in due diligence, you know, the first thing is I'm never going to violate the covenants of an HOA. You know, I want to be respectful to my neighbors, to the people around me, and if the community has decided that they don't want to allow that type of activity in the neighborhood, then by all means. And the same goes for legislative issues on the you know, or rules and regulations on the, you know, municipal city level or even the state level. Certainly always looking to be within the law on that. Now, my point of view is actually, I think that we're going in the opposite direction. I think most towns, cities, states are recognizing that there's a lot more benefits to allowing this type of a structure to allow people to stay in homes in this way. And I see legislation actually going the opposite direction to allow to open more opportunity to do short-term rentals in different communities and things like that. We're seeing a little bit of that in North Carolina right now, that they're actually there's legislation going in the opposite direction.
Good.
To okay. tell cities and municipalities they cannot regulate Airbnb in that way. So
that's good. So, but if you had to make it a long-term rental, mm-hmm. would it still work? Or would you just
Yeah. I'm always underwriting it as well as a long-term rental. And knowing that if I need to fall back on that I can, that I'm not going to be, you know, having to shell out hundreds of dollars a month just to keep the property.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I think that's an important thing to keep in mind. Well, let's talk about one of your deals, like just so we can make sense of this. So like say for one of your Airbnbs, what did you buy the property for?
Sure. So I bought a property. It's just a 3-bed, 2-bath, very basic, you know, single family home. Bought it for $242,000. Our mortgage payment on an annual basis is about $13,000 a year. On average, you know, in a non-pandemic year, we're looking at about $48,000 a year, about $4,000 a month.
Okay. And is that fairly consistent, or does that vary seasonally?
Well, the income definitely varies seasonally, you know, for, you know, in the fall in the mountains of North Carolina, it's a big tourist time and attraction, the Blue Ridge Parkway. So we see a spike during that time. We see a spike in the summers when people are traveling. The winter can be very slow and rates are pretty low at that point. But there is definite demand drivers that will increase or reduce the income.
Okay. So you've just got to really look at this over a year, you know, month to month it might fluctuate, but on a yearly basis is really where you're going to be profitable.
Correct.
Now, do you have a property manager for this property?
I do. One of my partners is actually a real estate agent. And he's the property manager for this property.
And what do you pay the manager?
We pay him 17% of gross, or actually of revenues, minus cleaning fees. Wow. So it's kind of a net revenue number.
17%. That's a lot. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Vacation rental properties, obviously, like we just talked about earlier, they're a lot more, there's a lot more time necessary to dedicate to them. And as a result, it's a higher level of management service.
Right.
So it is different than a, you know, 8 to 10% that you might would pay a long-term rental property manager.
All right. And then what other expenses, obviously, as we talked about, you've got the utilities, you've got an HOA. What other fees are you paying?
Yeah. So, you know, between the mortgage includes our property taxes and insurance. So that's kind of covered in there. The HOA, you know, it's about $100 a month. That includes, you know, road maintenance and, you know, whether that be scraping the ice or snow in the winter, and as well as it also covers the water bill. And so the rest of the utilities, you know, the utilities and HOA add up to be about $3,600 a year, you know, kind of round number, $300 a month. And then we estimate, and sometimes we're over, sometimes we're under on this, but just upkeep and annual maintenance on the property to be about $3,000 a year, you know, whether that be an occasional touch up paint, replacing pieces of furniture as they are wearing out and needed to be replaced, or, you know, linens, dishes, that sort of thing.
Okay. So after everything's said and done, after you've paid everything, how much profit is left?
Yeah. So our net profit on an annual basis, you know, hovers somewhere around $21,000-$22,000 a year.
Wow. Okay. So that's off one property, you're making $21,000 a year after
everything.
That's
right. That's right.
That's really good. That's really good. Okay. So the Airbnb is solid. You're making solid revenue off all your Airbnbs. And now I want to talk about the other short-term rental that you're doing. And I guess it's not really a short-term rental. It's maybe like a medium-term rental where you're renting out properties to traveling nurses. Tell me about how this works.
Yeah. So what we did on this is we found a property that's located near a hospital or two. There's actually in the town that we're in, there's two different hospital systems. And so these hospitals are actually located very close to each other. And we found a property that it's a small 2-bedroom, 1-bath, about 1,000 square feet. Just a very nice little kind of cottage type home. And we thought, hey, this is going to be a perfect location for a nurse housing unit. So meaning traveling nurses that they basically move around the country as they wish, and they find jobs and positions at hospitals that need some extra staff, and they come on for a 3 to 4 month contract position. And so they need a furnished home. They need, you know, all utilities provided, and they just really need a safe place for them to rest their head at night and to be able to live while they're there for 90 to 120 days. So we found this home, and it cost us about $115,000. And we're making about $1,700 a month, in rent on that. So that's about $20,000 a year annualized.
Wow. Okay. And do you have any downtime, or are you able to, when one nurse moves out, replace them with someone else?
Yeah. So the great thing is a lot of times these hospital systems are pretty much, they either depend on or they're, you know, they're intentionally utilizing these contract workers so that they're not having to hire full-time staff. So there's, when one contract nurse is going out, most times there's another person coming back in to replace them. And so you end up with, yes, you have somebody moves out after 3 or 4 months, but what I do is I get into the routine of advertising it pretty much the month before a nurse is planning to move out. And sometimes they'll actually renew their contract. And so they may stay 6 or 9 months. But sometimes they'll leave after 3 or 4 months. Okay. And I'll be in communication with them and say, hey, what's your plans? And they'll say, hey, I'm leaving. So then I'll go ahead and start advertising it on, there's a website called Furnish Finder. There's some really active Facebook groups as well. And so I'll just advertise it up on there. And most times I can fill the home pretty much within a week of the person moving out and having somebody come back in.
That's a lot of demand. So the key to making this work is you've got to be near like a big hospital or some kind of healthcare facility, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. You're exactly right.
Okay. I think that this is a really interesting niche. If anyone wants to hear more about exactly how this works, check out episode number 286. We talked to someone that's using Furnish Finder and is having a lot of success with it. And so you haven't had any problems with the nurses. Everything has been pretty smooth for you.
Yeah. Overall they are fantastic tenants. I kind of jokingly say, a nurse, like you're really renting to a person that you would definitely want around you if you were having any kind of a heart attack or something like that. Yeah. So, I mean, you're literally renting to people who save lives. So it's hard to find a better tenant than that, in my opinion.
Yeah. And so as far as doing a background check, do you do like a typical screening like you would do with a regular tenant, or do you just assume because they're a nurse, they've got a job, they're here on a contract, that they're going to be fine?
I don't like to make any assumptions, at all. Typically what I'll do is I'll run them through like a Zillow, background check, credit check kind of thing, to where I can at least screen them. And then I'll also request a copy of their contract, that they receive from the healthcare system just to make sure that they are legit and that they are, that there's no problems, glaring problems there. But overall, sometimes there's, some little credit issues or something like that. I'm going to, for the most part, overlook those. But as long as everything else checks out, then I'll move forward with them.
And you're renting out the entire property to one nurse. Like, so you're not renting it out by the room?
Yeah. I don't do the by the room and chop up, one house and get multiple different nurses in there. What I do is I like the 2-bedroom, 1-bath because a lot of traveling nurses like to travel in pairs. They like to go together once they make a friend or something like that. They'll travel to another location together and room together. So I like the 2-bedroom, 1-bath because it makes it accessible and affordable for 2 people to share one unit, and they're not having to go out and find 2 units or something like that.
Yeah. Well, let's talk some numbers on this. So what did you buy this property for?
Sure. So I bought it for $115,000 earlier this year in 2021.
Okay. And what's your mortgage payment?
The mortgage payment is about $600 a month, so about $7,200 a year.
Okay. And so just like the Airbnb, you're paying utilities on this. Are you supplying the internet too and TV?
Yep. So I'm supplying internet. We have ATV, but they're able and welcome to set up their own, Netflix and that sort of thing. We don't provide cable TV.
Okay.
We just provide internet service.
Okay. And then you've got some expenses as far as repairs or anything else that might come up. How much does that generally come to?
Yeah. So, the nice thing is you can kind of create your own contract with the nurses. Generally, what I do is I will build in a cleaning fee, which is going to cover their move out expenses into the contract itself. So that net is not a cost to me. Mm-hmm. It's just absorbed into the lease agreement. But on an overall basis, I estimate for repairs and vacancy to be about $2,000 a year on this particular property.
So then where does that leave you at profit-wise?
Yeah, so profit-wise, you know, once we kind of take out all the expenses, mortgage, utilities, repairs, vacancies, that sort of thing, we're left at about $8,500 a year of profit.
Okay, interesting. All right, so this is about half of what you would make on an Airbnb, but you've got less work.
The price of the home was probably is actually a little bit more than half.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So your return is about the same.
Yeah. Return is about the same. And I would say that the actual work, you know, what we have to put into it is a little bit less than the Airbnbs, just because, you know, you get somebody in there for 3 or 4 months, and once you get them in, they're usually pretty okay. They don't have to, you know, there's not a lot of things. They're more like a long-term tenant once they're in.
Well, then wouldn't the traveling nurses be better? Like, could you use your Airbnbs as rentals to traveling nurses and maybe make the same money with less hassle?
I mean, there definitely is the possibility of that. I would say that the geography has a lot to do with this. So this is located in Winston-Salem, which has the two hospital systems where I currently live. Most of my Airbnbs are in Asheville, North Carolina, which is a big tourist hub.
Okay.
Big destination location. So there's not as much of a demand. There's still a demand for the travel nurse housing, but there's not as much of a demand
for
it there. And there's a huge demand for Airbnb there.
Right. Okay. So it's, I guess, more than looking at the numbers, you've got to look at where the property is, and your Airbnb properties make sense as Airbnbs because of where they are. And your traveling nurses properties, they make sense because of where they are. So that's
exactly.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And then the other type of properties that you have are just regular long-term rentals. Tell me about these properties. Like, what are your long-term rentals like?
Yeah. So actually one of my first long-term rentals, it was a property that I purchased back in 2007 and kind of purchased it as a house hack. You know, I bought it and got some friends to move in and rent some bedrooms from me. It's to cover the mortgage payment, and was a nice little way to kind of save overall in expenses. I didn't expect the housing market to just completely fall off a cliff in 2008, 2009, but lo and behold, that's what happened. But I, you know, to this day, I still own this one as a long-term rental, and overall it's been good. It's been a great investment.
That's great. And so is this in like a really like a nicer neighborhood?
Yeah. So it's in like a, you know, a planned community type of a situation. This is actually a townhouse that it's got a townhouse development and a single family home development. So it's a great little neighborhood.
Okay. And so when you bought it, you were house hacking. But today, do you rent it out by the room, or do you just rent out the entire townhouse?
Yeah, I just rent out the entire townhouse, and it's you know, I actually have a property manager on that handles it for me, and so it's kind of turnkey in that way.
Awesome. So you were able to get in there, I assume, with a low down payment.
Yeah. So and I don't know if you remember, in 2007 they were giving out mortgages like candy, and so I was employed full time, but I was actually still in school. Full time. So I had a W-2, it was a good, strong income, didn't have very much debt. And, so I was actually able to buy it zero down. I actually walked away from the closing table with, I think, maybe $1,000 or $2,000, believe
That's
it
awesome.
Or not.
That's great.
So zero down, bought it for $159,000 back in 2007.
That's great. Well, let's talk some numbers on this. So how much is your mortgage payment?
Yeah. So, mortgage payment is right around about $8,000 a year.
Okay.
And that includes taxes and insurance on that.
And how much do you rent that property out for?
We're at about $1,500 a month, which is about $18,000 a year.
Okay. And so you've got an HOA, I assume.
Yep, it's okay. A townhouse, so the HOA fee is $1,800 a year.
Okay, and you have a property manager for this one?
And I do, yep. Property okay. manager's he charges $100 a month.
Okay,
which is actually a little bit lower than a 10%
okay
management fee.
Great. So then, when you add in any other expenses that might come up, how much are you profiting on this property?
Yeah, so, you know, repairs, maintenance, vacancy hasn't really been an issue with this property. But, you know, overall, after all said and done, it's about $6,000 a year okay. is what the profit is on this one.
And, you know, and that's solid. So this is $6,000 a year, but this is even less work, I assume, than the other two types of properties, right?
Right.
So, yeah, I think that's awesome. I think you've got a great portfolio. Every property is a little bit different and that they're all serving different purposes, but they're all making you money in different ways. I think you've done a great job.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. So tell me about your day job. So you have a business where you help people with their finances. Tell me exactly what you're doing.
I have my own, what's called a registered investment advisory firm, which is a fee only financial planning company. And I target helping folks that are real estate investors, as well as folks who are kind of heading into retirement that are just needing a better understanding of their picture and where they stand and that sort of thing. So the name of the company is Refocus Financial Planning. And work on a flat fee basis. And so I kind of try to reduce all conflicts that might arise, which is especially important in the financial advice industry. You don't want to have any conflicts of interest, which can be common, unfortunately.
Yeah. If anybody wants to connect to Daniel to learn more, I've got his contact information on the website. You can find it at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode323. If Daniel inspired you and you're ready to buy your first rental property or you want to add to your portfolio, the lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge. She's a nationwide lender, and her specialty is helping investors finance rental properties. She has a ton of different loan programs, and she can find something customized to you for your situation. Chaley has a special limited-time offer just for our listeners. If you mention Rental Income Podcast, she will pay for your appraisal up to $500. If you want some more details or you want to set up a time to talk to Chaley, just go to her website. It's ridgelendinggroup.com. That's RIDGE lendinggroup.com. NMLS 42056. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast today. Make sure you subscribe and you will get notified every time we release a new episode. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.